Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Love to have you follow us, by the way, at Chad Hartman Show on Twitter and Chad Hartman Show on Facebook.
Yep.
Also.
Yep.
Right? We wanted over the top love songs. Muskrat Love works. Not for Adam. Adam would give this a 3.
Well, I don't know. He gave good songs a 3, so maybe this one he'd give like an 8.
Yeah, yeah. You think you're good? You have selections, or would you like? I think we could still ask for suggestions. I'd have no problem with a few
texters. Yeah, folks can keep recommending stuff. That's no problem.
If you want to provide us with another over-the-top, just nauseating love song. But it could be a love song that you find nauseating, but you listen to longer. You hate listen. That's a bit.
I unfortunately found myself tapping a foot along with some of these as I was recording.
That's what we're looking for. One that you find annoying, but that you do keep on for 45 seconds or so. Before we get to the Wolves conversation, this among the texts coming in, this move looks like it's 100% made by the owner. Until the Wild gets a new owner, the Wild will always be average at best. They have an owner who spends a great deal of money. They have an owner whose passion this can be. I think the owner, who is very involved, needs to be a little bit more realistic about what needs to happen about rebuilding this team. And I think Guerin had complete freedom to make this trade. To make this decision to fire Boudreau. I don't doubt that for a second. But I think he's also very aware of Leopold's frustrations about the attendance and Leopold's continued belief in overvaluing the talent on this team. Somebody's still mad at Fenton for the poor trades he made. He stole Kevin Fiala, let's be honest. Mikael Granlund hasn't done a damn thing in Nashville. And Kevin Fiala, for pure talent, is the most talented player on this team. He's inconsistent still. He's in a good stretch right now. But if you talk about a young player they have who can grab a game by the throat for 4 or 5 shifts in a row, he's their only guy. So the Rask, Niederreiter trade, abysmal. Donato, Coyle, it's about a push. Fenton actually gets too much heat in this town. Because if one trade is a steal, you get a lot of credit for that. Wild's been bad since Bruce was forced by Fenton to fire John Anderson. Well, yeah, that is something where Fenton came in, forced Boudreau to fire his closest friend, and then brought in the guy who's now the interim head coach. So that is an interesting dynamic about this. Let me get to the Garnett situation. And again, I apologize for the cough. I have been sick off and on for 7 weeks, and I'm going to try a new medication later today.
So. Some might suggest longer.
Yes, that's it. In some ways, you're 100% right. And again, I really appreciate the Twitter feedback we were getting last night on this. The anger is more towards Glenn Taylor, no doubt about it. When the announcement came out last night that the Boston Celtics are retiring Kevin Garnett's number. Look up how many years KG played for the Celtics, by the way. The trade in this town was after the 2006 season. They won the title in 7. I think he was traded in 2012 to the Nets. Is that right?
It was after the 12-13 season.
13 season. 13. So he played
from 07 to the end of the 2012-2013 season.
That's a long run. That's, what is that, six years in the
yes.
6 years. So that's an extended period of time. Because among the foolish things I saw on Twitter, one person said this is comparable to Brett Favre and the Vikings retirement. Absurd. Kevin Garnett won a championship and was co-headliner with Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and other players, and merging Rajon Rondo and Kendrick Perkins and some veterans on the bench. But the lead person, the number one person who drove that championship is Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett, the next year, they're having an even better year, and he hurts his leg. And then they went to the NBA Finals again another year and lost in a painful Game 7 when they lost Kendrick Perkins in that series to Kobe and the Lakers. Brett Favre had one magnificent year here and lost in the semifinals and then was a no-show the next year. There is no comparison between Kevin Garnett's impact in Boston over an extension because they had numerous other playoff runs where they went far. Favre's year was amazing. They didn't win a championship, and it was a single year versus multiple years of excellence in Boston. So, and also, I think the same texter was blaming the Celtics for doing this. Why in the hell do the Celtics have to wait for the Wolves' dysfunction to stop? Because, by the way, my club, the dysfunction over there might stop in 2097.
Yeah, you're going to wait a while.
The Celtics don't have to wait a second. This is about the dynamic and about KG's belief that Glenn Taylor was not loyal to him. Now, loyalty is a two-way street. Okay, and that two-way street is paved with gold because when the NBA had the contract situation, when after 3 years you had to make a decision on a young player, the decision Glenn Taylor made with the encouragement of Saunders and McHale was to sign Kevin for a six-year, $126 million contract. He later signed an extension for another $100 million. Glenn Taylor paid Kevin Garnett over $200 million. That's some pretty damn good loyalty. Kevin had great run on this organization. I watched every second of it for the first 10 years of his career. That guy, not a single practice, not a single shooter on, not a single game did he give anything but 100%. His decisions on what players he wanted, Not very good. But the performance he gave you all throughout was remarkable. Kevin Garnett living up to what he was supposed to do compared to ownership, management, and coaching with the Timberwolves, it's not close. It just isn't. And Kevin was very frustrated by that. His players' suggestions, I'll say again, who he wanted on the team to help out, they were friends. They weren't as productive as they should have been. The Wolves failed many years in trying to get upper-level talent around them. They made the playoffs year after year after year after year. When they lost in the first round, they were the underdog every year. They're capable of pulling off an upset, but every year they lost to the favorite team, except the 1 year in 04 when they had the run. And Garnett was very frustrated by that. Flip was given greater latitude by KG. McHale, that latitude went away, and his frustrations with Taylor were too quick, in my opinion. As someone at one time who knew Kevin very well, I know that Kevin is all about loyalty. I've said this many times. Last 2 years, we barely talked. Kevin felt like my words after Game 6 in their Western Conference final run were too critical, and that's absurd, by the way. He had been brilliant the entire run, and he still had a very good game, and he needed to be amazing in that game. And I said he was very good, wasn't amazing, but he had enough enablers around him. So we barely talked. We were on buses. We were in elevators together. I was close to Brandy. Talked to her often. Talked to his brother-in-law all the time. Talked to people close to him in his circles. But Kevin and I, because Kevin was like a loyalty guy. You're either with me or against me. We had a bunch of run-ins over the years about comments I made on broadcasts and shows, and we had some screaming knockdowns, and many times we got back together. Kevin, you had to stand up to. In the end, I wasn't going to kiss the ring anymore and felt like, hey, I'm on the plane with you. I'm on the bus with you. If you want to chat with me, you can. So Kevin is that loyalty type of guy. And he felt like Glenn Taylor let him down when, again, Glenn paid him over $200 million. But he felt like Glenn let him down on players when he kept seeing what was going on elsewhere. And that when mainly Randy Whitman from the organization approached him, because at that time the relationship between KG and McHale was not great. And when McHale was looking around to make a deal that worked out way better for the Boston Celtics, Kevin was furious that this organization was going to try to trade him and would have never accepted the idea without the help of two of his friends, Chauncey Billups and Ty Lue, who told him, you got to go. You're too young. Got to go. He did, and he had great days in Boston. And then when Flip convinced him to come back, he had to overcome a lot of that tension that Kevin still felt towards Taylor. And that included, when you retire, we'll find a way for you to work into ownership. And we all know, and as I pointed this out in one of the texts last night, all this is petty and meaningless compared to the fact that my great friend and Kevin's great friend, Flip Saunders, is gone. None of this matters compared to that. But facts do on what we're talking about here. So Flip told him ownership will be part of it. Kevin acted like that too, I can assure you. Walking around and telling people, you're going to be here, you're going to be here, you're not going to be here, you're not going to be here when I'm running the show. Kevin was not helped, was not pleased by the way how Glenn Taylor handled the Sam Mitchell situation. Glenn handled it poorly. He owns the team. He can do it. I think Sam's work was underappreciated. And again, Glenn wasn't there. Should have been there. But that Mitchell-Garnett dynamic, by the way, that year was very up and down. I do find it kind of funny how those two romanticize that a little bit, but when I know that they clashed frequently during that year also. The Wolves have tried to reach out to Garnett numerous times. Even when they honored Flip with the night, KG, not the first night when they played after Flip had passed, but when they did the honor later. And Kevin wouldn't return their calls. So it's a two-way street, and I get the people in this town are going to be more mad at Taylor because what he's done compared to KG, there is no comparison. There's none. But it is a two-way street, and I see no signs of progress, none, because Glenn Taylor and prominent members of his family have no interest in selling this team right now, no interest. And I don't see a scenario where Kevin's going to come back as long as Glenn is involved, unless somebody else plays a role to bring these two together.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.